thoroughly enjoyed this morning's services. I tell you, one of my favorite psalms in the Bible is Psalms 48. First three verses there talks about Mount Zion. And over in Hebrews 12, Mount Zion is defined to us as the church of the firstborn, the church of Jesus Christ. But over in Psalms 48, it tells us that Mount Zion is the joy of the whole earth. I want every child of God, especially the ones who come into these doors, I want you to understand that the church of God is the joy of the whole earth.
Amen.
I want you to understand if you're looking for joy, this is where it's at.
Yes.
Amen.
I want God's ministers and God's people to talk about the house of God as the joy of the whole earth. It irritates me when somebody will try to get somebody to join the Old Baptist Church, but run the Old Baptist Church down.
Right.
Don't even make sense.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, this is the joy of the whole earth.
Amen.
Whenever we do it right, we're not perfect. The Lord set up a perfect institution. Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
But we're not perfect. We mess up.
That's right.
I'm tired of people acting like the Old Baptists have a monopoly on sin and faults and failures. We're sinners. As Brother Dickey said, we're going to mess up. I'm going to tell you, we'll preach depravity all day, and then one of our church brothers or sisters is a sin, and we'll be like, I can't believe you did it. You just amen that we're all depraved sinners.
Right. Amen,
don't get surprised when I mess up.
Amen.
Let us arise up and try to do better.
Amen.
I tell you, I appreciate so much, especially Romans 8. I'm going to kind of hitch up to Brother Chris's sermon for about 5 minutes, because there's just some points that he didn't have enough time, and I'm not saying you were incomplete. I enjoyed it immensely. But let's just go over there to that Romans 8:28 real quick. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. What we need to understand is all things does not mean everything.
Right.
See, that's what people think. A real good proof text on that. 1 John 2:20 says that you have an unction of the Holy One and ye know all things. Do you know everything? But what do you know? What's the all things there? The things that the Holy One teaches you.
Right.
Whenever you're born again, He writes His laws in your minds and puts them in your earth. Puts His laws in your mind and writes them in your heart. So those are the all things that the Unction One teaches you, or that the Holy One teaches you. But it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. What we need to understand and rightly divide in Romans 8:28 is that all things does not mean everything.
Right.
Because that's where everybody gets hung up at. Let me ask you a real quick question. Does everything work together?
No.
This doesn't say all things work out or all things work. This says all things work together.
Right.
I was raised on the Mississippi River. Okay? A barge is going up the river. The current is going down the river. Is the current of the river a thing?
Yes.
Is a barge a thing?
Yes.
Is that barge going against the river?
Yes.
Are they working together?
No.
No. Okay? So does everything work together?
No.
No. I'm going to tell you what, not everything works. My brother-in-law don't work. Does a rock work? It lays there. You get what I'm saying? You go to a baseball game, the pitcher's working, the hitter's working, but they're not working together. Okay, let's go to Bible. Galatians 5 and 17. Is the flesh a thing?
Yes.
Is the spirit a thing?
Yes.
It says the flesh lusts against the spirit. Those are not working together. Brothers and sisters, everything does not work together.
Amen.
But all the things over in Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, they work together. Because guess what? Everyone that was foreknown is going to be glorified.
Right.
Everyone that's foreknown is going to be called.
Right.
Everyone that's foreknown is going to be justified.
Yeah.
Or is justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You get the point? They work together. Everybody that's glorified was foreknown.
Right.
Everybody that's called is going to be glorified. They all work together.
Yes.
There's nothing in there that you can just pluck out and say one of these is this, but it's not everything else.
Right.
They work. Look, if somebody's one thing in those five things, they're all those things.
Amen.
That's what that means.
Right.
Let's move on. John chapter 5. Brothers and sisters, the reason I want you to know that the church of God is the joy of the whole earth. It has saved me. Jesus Christ saved me to heaven. But the church of God has given me a purpose in my life. It's given me a family. I'm going to tell you, Brother Danny and Sister TC, they didn't know me from Adam. They've treated me like a king. Like a king. I'm nothing, brothers and sisters. Without the Lord, I'm nothing less nothing. I deserve hell.
Amen.
But they don't treat me like that.
Right.
They treat me like a king and priest unto God. And I want God's people to know, over there in Psalms 48, it talks about that the Lord's palaces are known for a refuge. This is your refuge. Did y'all not feel the Lord last night?
Amen.
I mean, I felt Him today.
Amen.
But when I'm about to preach, I don't focus on the preaching as I should all the time. Like, I'll hear a word and I'll chase a rabbit. But I'm going to tell you, last night, I just felt heaven come down.
Amen.
Did you not?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, and I'm not saying, sometimes whenever we preach about our old sins, we preach as if we're glorifying that, as somebody has to do it. I don't want you to get that, what I'm about to say. But I've done every drug there is under the sun. Chasing a feeling. The feeling I felt last night for 15 minutes.
Amen.
That stuff I used to seek after doesn't even compare to what we had last night.
Amen.
I want you to understand the joy of the whole earth is here. When we do it
right,
let us appreciate what we got.
Amen.
That's right.
John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, I was reading this morning, by the sheep market. You know what happens at a sheep market? Sheep get paid for. And look what it says there. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. You know what Bethesda means? It means house of kindness or house of mercy. Let me tell you, at the house of kindness and the house of mercy, Jesus Christ paid for some sheep.
Amen.
And then it says this in the third verse. And these lay a great multitude. Now I'm going to try to get to the sixth to the ninth verse without commenting anymore, just reading. But that's hard for me to do. I am ADD to the fullest. I got church members that tell me I need to get on Vyvanse. I'm like, okay, whatever. And these, I ain't taking it, okay? And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. That means powerless.
Yeah.
A blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was a Sabbath. Okay, there's two main points I want to try to make in the remaining 20 minutes, Lord willing. I'm saying Lord willing on the 20 minutes. But number one, by the way, let me segue real quick. You're kind of chasing a rabbit. What happens whenever Alabama's playing Tennessee and they go into overtime?
Oh, my goodness.
What happens? Do y'all say, oh, time's over, we're going to the house? Are you sitting there going, are you sitting there looking at your watch like, man, I can't believe they had the nerve to go overtime? What do you say? Free football. I was watching Sports Center one time. They said the greatest game in SEC was when Ole Miss and Arkansas went into 8 overtimes. Greatest game, 8 overtimes. I'm glad they wasn't at Old Baptist raising leadership of the Spirit always tells us to quit singing at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. Man, it's pretty consistent, isn't it? Are you getting my point? Brothers and sisters, if the Lord is with us, let Him be with us.
Amen.
Let us quench not the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to try to try your patience. I'm not going to try to tempt the Lord. But I'm going to say, and if we're coming here and we're supposed to set our affection upon things above, let's not look down.
Amen.
Amen. Let us enter in to worship service.
Amen.
2 points I want to try to make this morning. Number one is I want you to understand you've been made whole.
Amen.
And number two, after you understand that you've been made whole, what do you need to be doing?
There you go.
Right.
After this man was made whole, he's supposed to rise up and walk.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But we're going to get to a couple things before then. I want you to look at what's going on here. Let me paraphrase in Brother Danny's terms. This man is laying at this pool. And the whole reason he's at this pool is because he's got a little bit of hope. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little hope. If you're a member of it, I never understood Little Hope from the Baptist Church. I'm not picking on it. I just don't get it. Okay? I'm a big old boy. I got a big hope. I got a big Jesus. I got a big God. Okay? But he had a little hope. And his little hope was this. He was laying by the pool. And the reason he was by that pool is because every once in a while an angel would come by. And he would trouble the water. And if you could get down in that water for anybody else, you'd get healed. But he got a problem. He can't walk.
Right.
He can't walk. Now I'm going to tell you, and I'm not picking on anybody else's religion, but I tell you what, if somebody was at a missionary Baptist church and said, them old Baptists believe in election, amen, you preach that.
Yeah.
I actually know a sister who came to the old Baptist church because she heard somebody from another order picking on us, but when he picked on us, he said the truth, and she said, that's exactly what I believe, I want to go find them out.
Amen.
So if you're going to represent another religion, it shouldn't hurt your feelings, make sure you represent them right.
Right.
Okay? But I want to paint a picture here. To me, what he had, his hope, was kind of like the Arminian view. Okay? And what I mean by that is this. He can't walk, but the way he gets healed of not being able to walk, he's got to walk. You get that?
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. He's laying by this pool to get healed of not being able to walk. And the only way that he can get healed of not being able to walk is he's got to get to the pool.
Right.
He got a little bit of hope.
Amen.
Amen. There's something he can't do until he's healed, and that's the requirement they're putting on him to be healed.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's something that you can't do until you're born of the Spirit, and that's what people put as a requirement for you to be born of the Spirit.
Right.
People will tell you the way that you're born of the Spirit is you got to believe in Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you're not born of the Spirit, you can't believe in Jesus. Because in order to believe in Jesus, you have to have faith. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Faith. Okay? This is how I'm a simple-minded individual. I tell you that. Somebody say something so obvious at work, and I'll be like, you should be a primitive Baptist. and they'll be like, what do you mean by that? I said, that's all I do at church. I just tell people what's obvious. But let me paint a simple picture for you. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Okay, you can't believe without faith. It says, by faith we believe, right? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. If you believe that this world was spoken into existence by the Word of God, let me tell you something, you're born of the Spirit because you have faith.
Amen.
That's a Bible fact.
Amen.
But it says that the fruit of the Spirit is faith, right? So that tells me if I don't have... Okay, I'm trying to think in my head right now. All right, a tomato plant. If you see a tomato... What do you know about the plant that is hanging on?
It's a tomato.
It's a tomato plant. So what was there first, the tomato or the plant?
The plant.
Amen. Okay. Now, what do you know about the seed that produced the tomato plant? Right? If I'm looking at a tomato plant, what do I know was in the ground first?
A tomato seed.
You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
So if you see the tomato fruit, You know there had to be a tomato seed.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what, if the fruit, if the tomato is faith, what had if faith is the fruit of the Spirit, what had to be there first? The Spirit!
Amen.
Yeah. If you can't believe without faith, if you got belief, what do you have? Faith! If you got faith, you got what?
The Spirit!
That's right.
Amen. Let me tell you, I'm not telling you to believe so you can get the Spirit. I'm telling you, if you believe, you've got the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Why are you here? I trust it's because you believe.
Amen.
Why do you pray? Do you pray? Do you talk to people you don't believe exist?
No.
I want you to understand, the reason you talk to God is because you believe He's real.
Yeah.
Right? And you're born of the Spirit.
Amen.
1 John 5:1 says, "He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God."
Right.
Brothers and sisters, I got a very important question for you this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Amen. Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
If you do, I got really good news for you. You're born of God.
Right.
You know where people born of God go? They go to heaven.
Amen.
We believe in being heaven bought, heaven born, heaven bound.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go with me over to John chapter 3 real quick. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Brother Dickey, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Woo! You're not going to perish!
Amen.
Yay! Right?
Right.
That's right.
Brother David, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Absolutely.
You got eternal life!
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, it says rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. You know what that means?
Right.
Rejoice.
Amen.
I tell you, I bet you if brothers watching Alabama game and they would have beat LSU this year, you'd have been rejoicing.
That's right.
I'm from Vidalia, Louisiana, brother.
I forgive you, brother.
Amen. If it's okay for us to get happy,
Amen.
Over football,
yeah,
which has no bearing on our life.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I enjoy a good football game too when they win. But brothers and sisters, the thing that had the most bearing on our everlasting soul.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's okay to rejoice.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you're commanded to.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to act like me. You don't have to run around, woo, woo, woo. But I'm going to tell you what, I've been out there. I appreciate what we got in here.
Amen.
Who do you think appreciated Canaan's land more? The one who left Egypt when he was 19 years old? And watch all his cousins and mamas and daddies and uncles and aunts die in the wilderness. And then he finally made it over to the land of milk and honey. Or his child who never experienced the bondage of Egypt. Which one do you think enjoyed Canaan's land more? I'm going to tell you that one that was in Egypt.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you the folks that I hear running down the old Baptist a lot of times are the folks who never been out in Egypt.
Yeah.
The folks who never had that bondage of, if you don't believe, you're going to burn in hell forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, we need to appreciate what we have. Amen. Do you realize you were never threatened with hell to do right?
Amen.
Amen.
How mean your parents were not to do that to you. That's sarcasm. I tell you what, you talk to Brother Ronnie Loudermill, who's a very intelligent man. And people tell me he's a good-looking man, too, you know?
No, brother.
I don't judge that. But my whole point is this. He tells me about being 17 years old. And, I mean, he's one of the most intellectual individuals I know. And he's smart. He looks good. All these things. He's skinny. Something I always wanted to be. And you would have thought his life would have been spectacular. He said, "Brother Danny, I was a depressed, and despaired individual. Because every Sunday, my daddy, which was the pastor, would tell me what I had to do to be saved. And I'd come down the aisle to get saved, and I never had relief. I'm going to tell you, if you've been raised in Old Baptist Church, that bondage has never been put on you. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what, I've had a mother call me and tell me that her 7-year-old child is crying because he feels like he's going to go to hell. Praise God! Because
yes, right.
I'm able to tell him about the true Jesus.
Amen. Right.
That's the only reason he feels like that, because Jesus lives in his heart.
Right.
That's
right.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, if you believe in Jesus, you've been made whole.
Amen.
If you believe in Jesus, you've been born of the Spirit, and you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're going to heaven one day. Look what it says here. John 5. Brothers and sisters, I'm about as churchy as Noah was Arky. You get that? Noah loved him some Ark. Brother Danny loves him some church. Because I love the Holy Ghost. And you know what over in the last chapter of Ezekiel says about that city, which I believe is a picture of the church? The name of it is, the Lord is there.
Right.
I love the Lord, and I know whenever we do church right, we don't always do it right, do we?
Right.
But whenever we do church right,
yeah. The Lord is there.
Oh man, I got a hope.
Yeah, go.
I got a hope.
Amen.
I'm going to see Jesus.
Amen.
I feel like we've seen Him yesterday.
Amen.
I feel like we've seen Him today.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that we need to run down a place that's called the Lord is there. Now we need to encourage people to enter in with us.
Amen.
And we need to instruct one another on how we should act to make sure that the Lord's with us. Because if we ain't acting the way we should, the Lord ain't going to be there. Because I'm going to tell you, it says, we're two or three what gathered in His name. Just because you say His name don't mean you're in His name. We got to be doing what the Lord told us to do. Over here in John chapter 5, I just told you about this man had a little hope. They said, the way you get healed of you're not being able to walk, you got to walk. Okay. But now, the Lord comes on the scene.
Yeah.
And the 5th verse says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I love the response of this man. Because I'm going to tell you, this man, in a spiritual sense, was an Old Baptist. Because
yeah.
Look what he said here. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if before I knew the truth about Jesus Christ, and I felt the Lord in my very bosom, I'm going to tell you, every day I'd wake up, try to not ever sin again so that I could go to heaven. And guess what? I didn't think I was going to go to heaven. You know why? Because I had no man.
Right.
I couldn't do it.
Right.
Now I wake up trying not to sin, but it's not to go to heaven. It's because I'm going to heaven.
Right.
I want to live a life where people would look at me and it wouldn't tear down the church. It'd build it up.
Right.
I want to live a life where people would look at me and say, I want to go where He goes.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
I want to sanctify the Lord my God in my heart so people would have a reason to ask me of the hope that I have within me. I'm going to tell you what, if I'm not living a rejoicing life, nobody's going to know I have
Amen.
Hope.
Right. Right.
That's right.
That's right.
He says, I have no man. I'm going to tell you, besides the man, Jesus Christ, we have no man.
Amen.
And he was right. He had no man, but he was talking to the man.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's skip on down a little bit. 8th verse. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. I'm going to tell you, he was made whole before he walked. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Before we can walk, we have to be made whole.
Right.
I want you to understand that the fact that you believe in Jesus is an evidence that you've been made whole.
Amen.
But just because we believe don't mean we're going to get up and walk. Just because he was made whole does not mean he was going to get up and walk. He had the choice. He could lay down or he can get up. You know what our problem is too much? We lay down.
Amen.
And when I say our problem, I mean sinners. Yes. Saved by grace.
Right.
Because the road is hard. I'm going to tell you, we live in Babylon.
Yes.
Quit laying down.
Right. Hey.
You're a drunkard, quit drinking.
Right.
You're a fornicator, quit fornicating.
Amen.
You're an adulterer, quit adulterating.
Amen.
You're a backbiter, quit backbiting.
Right.
I was so happy whenever he said whispering
amen.
Was a sin. Amen and amen.
Right.
You got a problem with your brother, you go to him and him alone.
Amen.
You got a problem with your sister, you go to them and them alone.
Right.
I tell you, too many times the whole church knows there's a problem going on, and the one you have a problem with don't even know it. Because
right.
we forget
right.
that there's power in the Word of God.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, if you trust in the Word of God, you know how many times I've heard this? Brother Danny, problem. Well, you need to go with them. Well, that ain't going to do no good. That ain't what Jesus said.
That's right.
Jesus doesn't tell you to do it because it ain't going to do no good.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, we need to rise up.
Amen. Yeah.
And we need to walk.
Amen.
Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. You ever heard people say, things just seem so dark. I just don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now, before we get to the last part of this verse, I work in a dimension unit. I tell you what, I could be a stand-up comic after working there. I see some funny stuff. I got this one lady. I love her to death. She's about 92 years old. I got a lie to her every day. We call them compassionate lies. People say, Brother Danny, you shouldn't say you lie. Well, every day she wants to know where her husband is. You know what I tell her? He's great. He's doing really well right now. You know why? Because he's with the Lord.
Amen.
I don't go that far with it, but... But don't go to sleep around her. Because if you do, she's calling the ambulance on you. She is. Look, every day, at least four times a day, she walks over to me and she says, they're dead. You know why? Because they're sleeping.
Hmm.
You know the only difference in sight between a live person that's sleeping and a dead person? The live person is breathing.
Right.
That's the only difference in sight. And you know what? I'm dealing with 90-something years old. It's not unfathomable to me that she could be right, that they could be dead. So I stare at them for a bit. And I see their chest rise and fall. And I said, no, they're just napping. Are you sure? Wake them up. No, I'm not getting hit right now. But what I'm saying is this. Spiritually speaking, sometimes we're asleep.
Right.
And sometimes we don't act like we're alive.
Right. That's right.
The Bible calls us a peculiar people. You know you're the only one that can bless whenever you're persecuted? Really.
Right.
You know you're the only one who can love, really sincerely love? You know there are so many fruits of the Spirit, ninefold, that only us can bear? That's why we're peculiar. Because there's something in us and there's abilities that we have that folks who aren't born again, they don't have them. But I'm going to tell you, whenever we're not bearing that fruit, we look like we're dead.
Right.
You know what? Whenever somebody irritates me and is evil speaking towards me, if I speak evil back, anybody in the world can do that.
That's right.
Right. Amen.
Somebody curses me and I curse them back, anybody in the world can do that.
That's right.
But only born-again children of God can sincerely pray for that individual. Only born-again children of God can sincerely love somebody who hates them.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to arise from the dead.
Right.
And we
Amen.
Need to walk. We need to act like live men.
Right.
And you know what's going to happen? Look what it says here. Wherefore he saith, Wake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Sometimes the reason we can't see is because we ain't walking. I'm going to tell you, why is he going to illuminate the whole road for us when we ain't even walking 2 foot in front of us?
That's right.
The only light we need is what we need, one step after another.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
You take one step, you get a little more light. Let us arise from there, let us walk. Now let's go with me here. Okay. Give me 3 minutes. This is important. This is really important.
Overtime now.
Overtime. Can I get an amen on 8 overtimes? I need more than 3 minutes. Go with me to John 4. We're going to come back to Ephesians 5. Brothers and sisters, this is very important. Very important.
You preach it, brother.
20th verse. I'm not going to have time to set all this up. Maybe one of the brethren, if they feel led to in the afternoon, to do this. But the Lord is talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. The beautiful lessons there. 20th verse. This is what she says to the Lord. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 4:19, where the Lord just tells her all about her life, and she says, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Really? Man, you got a perception there. He just told her she's been married 5 times and she's living with a man. And she says, I perceive. Really? It's like me looking at y'all and say, I perceive you're hungry. Yeah, it's 12 o'clock. I'm going to tell you, I laugh constantly whenever I read the Bible. I really do. Oh man, I can chase so many rabbits right now. 20th verse. She says, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Look what she said there. This jumped out at me the other day I was reading. She says, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. In. Right? In. And then she says, You say in Jerusalem. You know what the Lord's going to say? Ye that worship me must worship in spirit.
Amen.
In truth.
Right.
Okay, if you're going to worship in that mountain the Samaritans are worshiping, how are you going to get in the mountain? You got to go there, right?
Right. That's right.
You got to get in it. You got to go there.
Yeah.
If you're going to worship in Jerusalem, you got to get in it. You got to go there.
Right.
Yes. I'm going to tell you what people don't understand. Number one thing you don't understand, the way you get born in the Spirit, the Lord does it. Amen?
Amen.
But there's another way we get in the Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
John says it like this. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, that tells me he ain't always in the Spirit.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
But how do we get in the Spirit? I'm going to make a quick segue. I'm going to skip a little bit. And in truth. I'm not going to focus much time on in truth. But I will say this. There's a reason over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Apostle Paul says this, Continue thou therefore in the doctrine, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Brothers and sisters, we need to be in the doctrine.
So. Amen.
Right.
And doctrine means teaching, by the way.
Right. Yes.
Just doesn't mean the articles of grace, right. It means teaching.
Right.
We need to be laboring in the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because
yeah.
In doing that,
yes,
we will both save thyself
yeah.
and them that hear
right.
thee. The truth yeah. matters.
Right.
It doesn't say continue in John Gill. It doesn't
Amen.
Say continue in all these writers. It says continue in the doctrine.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I've seen too many old Baptists stray away and get from the truth because they were continuing in other men's writings or other men's teachings and not in the Word of God.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Woo! I wish I could read the Bible as much as some people read Gill. I mean, they can quote Gill off the top of their head. I'm going to tell you, that's the way we need to be in the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And also says this, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That means the first time you go over it, you ain't going to get it all.
That's right.
So let's now go back to the 24th verse. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to tell you, you can praise God without spirit and truth, but you can't really worship God without spirit and truth. I believe we have the truth, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen.
You know what we need to be?
Spirit.
We need to be in the Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
And we shouldn't leave one and seek after the other. We should have both.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, we should be zealous with according of knowledge.
Right.
Right? Right. You got too much zeal, you're going to get rid of knowledge.
Right.
You got too much knowledge, you're going to get rid of zeal. We need to have a perfect balance.
Right. That's right.
Go with me back over to Ephesians 5, and I want to show you how we get in the Spirit. How do you get in the truth? You read it. You read it, and you study it, and you pray that God shows you the truth. That's how you get in the truth, right? What I want you to understand, we just don't sit. How many times do people come to church, and they say, Pastor, just fill me up. Pastor, just it's your job. Just give me your Spirit. You know what they are? Those are those five virgins that didn't bring no oil.
Right.
Give me your oil. You know, they were called foolish. You come to the house of God time and time again thinking you're going to be filled and you ain't been preparing.
That's right.
Oh, you're foolish.
That's right.
Yes. This is how you prepare. Look what it says here. 18th verse. And be not drunk with wine. How do you get drunk with wine? You drink it.
That's right.
You fill yourself up. You know, I used to be a drunkard. I was a bouncer on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. I never woke up in the morning and said, how did I get drunk? I knew how I got drunk. You know what I was doing? I was drinking it. I filled up with it.
Right.
How do you get the Spirit? It says, be not drunk with wine. Where is excess? But be filled with what? The Spirit.
Right.
How do you get it? You got to drink it.
Amen.
Right.
You got to fill yourself up with it.
Right.
Do you do that by driving down the road listening to Kenny Chesney?
No.
Do you do that by driving down the road listening to Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On?
No.
Do you do that by driving down the road listening to whiskey for my men, beer for my horses?
No.
I'm going to tell you, what we take into our minds and our eyes,
yes,
it has an effect on us.
Yeah,
brother.
And we shouldn't be filling ourselves with the things of this world,
right,
expecting to be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
And so he talked about Daniel yesterday. He said Daniel purposed in his heart,
yes,
that he would not be defiled with the things of that Babylonian captivity. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things that we can be eating that would defile us. Quit it.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Where he was at in Romans 1 yesterday, at the end there it says, not only to do the same, but find pleasure in them that do them. You ever watch a movie that's about fornication and you laugh and you're entertained by it? You're sinning, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Right. Amen.
You ever watch a sitcom and you're laughing at the sodomy that's going on there? You're sinning.
Right.
Because it says not only they that do these things, but find pleasure in it, brothers and sisters. And you know what? Danny sins in that way. I love comedy. I love jokes. I love humor. And sometimes I'll convince myself, it really ain't that bad.
Right.
But then whenever I come into the church house and I don't feel the Spirit, I know why.
That's right. Amen.
I hadn't been filling my... Brothers and sisters, God is not mocked.
Amen.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What does that mean? If I expect to eat corn, I need to be planting corn seed.
Yes. Right.
If I expect to eat tomatoes, I need to be planting tomato seed. If I expect to reap the benefits of the Holy Ghost, I need to be planting spiritual seed.
Yes.
But if I want a lukewarm spiritual life,
right,
only feeling God every once in a while whenever my toughest times are coming up, and I say, Lord, I'll never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how I want my life, then I need to be planting carnal seed.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I don't want that and you don't want
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Right.
Look what it says here. This is how you get filled with the Spirit. 19th verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I was going to preach a meeting one time. And I woke up, got in the shower, and I was washing my hair. And I started having this pop song go through my head. And this verse came to my mind, Brother Dickie. How did I get filled with the Spirit? Speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I had this ungodly pop song going through my head. And I'm like, Brother David, I got to go preach the gospel. Do I really think if I've seen this song,
yeah,
that it's going to increase my spiritual life? Mm-hmm. You know what I did? I purged it out of my mind, and I was washing my hair, and I said, blessed assurance Jesus is mine.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, when those worldly, ungodly things come into your mind, you purge it out with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Because I want to be a spiritual person, don't you?
Yes.
I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want Jesus to just be radiating all about me.
Amen.
And not only for me, I want it for you.
Right.
I want it that whenever you go to school, somebody says, where do you go to church?
Mm-hmm.
I want whenever somebody's having a hard day and they're looking for light in the world, they come talk to you because they can just see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if we're not being filled with the Spirit, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. We need not to be selfish. We need to try to be a benefit to other people.
Amen.
And then it goes on and says this. Making moaning in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Oh, giving thanks, thanking God has something to do with me being spiritual minded.
Right.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one another in fear of God. What's a recipe? I like to eat. What's a recipe? What's a recipe to being filled with the Spirit? Sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to yourself the things of God. Thank God for what He's done for you. And be humble one to another. I'm going to tell you, if you believe that Jesus is Christ, you've been made whole and you're going to heaven one day. But now you and I have a responsibility. You know what it is? It's to rise up and walk.
Amen.
And you know how we need to be walking? In the Spirit. I love you and God bless you.